From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, the unemployment rate dropped again today, and the U.S. job market is improving. We'll take a deeper look at the economy.
But first, President Obama sat down today at the White House with congressional leaders following Tuesday's elections. And we've heard about how good those elections were for Republicans in the House and Senate. But the GOP also won control of their most state legislative seats since 1928 and the most state legislative chambers in nearly 100 years. Luis Fortuño is the former governor of Puerto Rico and a board member of the Republican State Leadership Committee. He's with us from Washington. Welcome, Governor.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, we obviously are still waiting for some of the numbers, but either way, it looks like you added a lot of seats in state houses across the country.
It seems that way, that we've broken both total number of chambers in the hands of the Republican Party. The previous record was set in actually 1920 with 64 chambers, and it appears that we will control 69 this time around. And in terms of total number of Republican state legislative seats held, the all-time record was set in 1928. That was 4,001. And we appear to be on track to eclipse that all-time record as well.
And how did the party do that? Was that a national strategy, or was that individual races just being won by good candidates?
It's a combination thereof. On the one hand, we have the right policies, and this was a reaffirmation of the policies that Republicans are implementing at the state level, which emphasize, again, lower taxes, jobs, greater control by parents of their children education. But by the same token, also, we made a concerted effort to not just have the right policies and message, but have the right messengers. And we wanted messengers that actually that resemble our community in a better way. And we have what we call the Future Majority Project. And the Future Majority Project actually intends to recruit and get elected more diverse candidates. And we have the Right Women Right Now program that intends to actually do the same thing with more women candidates.
But yet we saw that there are 34 fewer women now than there were before the election, or there will be. So does that mean you didn't have enough female candidates?
Well, I will tell you that we were able to recruit 558 new women candidates. Not all of them got elected, of course. And we were able to recruit 244 new diverse candidates. And when I say diverse, I really mean it. It's not just Asian Americans and Hispanics and Indian Americans. It's, again, you know, people, homosexuals, it's people that speak different languages, it's people that have different religions. It's really a group of candidates that resemble the diversity of our great nation.
Well, so what are you going to do with that power? What are these state houses going to work on first? Is it going to be job creation, or is it going to be things that are more controversial with Democrats, especially like fewer expansions of Medicaid with the Affordable Care Act, or less gun control measures, or issues of same-sex marriage and abortion?
This election was about jobs, and that's the number one issue that most of our candidates actually had in mind. And that's why they were running on a platform that actually called for more jobs. And that means lower taxes, less regulation, and making sure that actually small and medium-sized businesses in America can grow and hire more people. That's what we want. We want people actually that don't have to work two or three jobs because they cannot actually work more than 30 hours a week because of Obamacare. We want to make sure that actually our small and medium-sized businesses can grow, and actually that the innovation and creativity of our people actually can shine.
So what about what we're seeing, for example, in Texas, where the governor-elect wants to, one of his first orders of business is to sign an open carry bill? Would you say that that's the wrong approach, that the initial focus should be on just job creation?
What's good for Texas may not be good for New York, and what's good for Alaska may not be good for Maine. Each state is different. But at the end of the day, I would say the common threat is jobs. Of course, there are going to be local issues, and those local issues will be dealt with. And that's what exactly why there are state legislatures, and we don't rely entirely on Congress.
What about redistricting? This is something that state legislatures do. Obviously, it's not going to happen for another few years because it happens with the census every 10 years. But do you expect that Republican-led legislatures and state houses are going to redraw the maps and make them even more friendly for Republican candidates in the House?
Well, actually, as you know, this has happened on both sides of the aisle, and Illinois is a good example of the state legislature doing exactly or trying to do that for Democrats. Thank goodness, you know, they, at the end of the day, there are courts that make sure that actually the districts are not unreasonable in how they're drawn. And again, that is not the main reason why the people went and to the polls and heavily favored Republican candidates. They are not thinking of redistricting. They went to the polls thinking of job security, thinking of actually their own personal security, thinking of their own individual freedom and personal responsibility. So again, those are the main issues. And actually, I campaign and assisted many of these candidates, especially those under our Future Majority Project, diverse candidates and female candidates. And I can tell you they have their agenda quite clear.
Mr. Fortunio, one more question. As you were watching the returns on election night after this campaign, what was the one state house race that you were most interested in finding out the results of?
Well, I was keeping an eye on, for example, on New Mexico's house. Governor Susana Martinez had campaigned with, you know, a good number of diverse candidates there. And actually, we picked up the House in New Mexico, was following that closely. I was following races, for example, Bob Cortez's race in Florida. And he made it. First time ever that he ran. Again, there were so many races where I had the pleasure of meeting some of this new candidates, people that had never run before. They came from the bottom up. They were leaders in their communities, but had never run for office before. And the Republican Party, through our Future Majority Project, actually provided that opportunity so that they will be able to represent the needs of their communities. So I would say Colorado's Senate, which actually flipped, and New Mexico's House, which flipped, were two that I was following very closely.
Luis Fortunio, former governor of Puerto Rico and a board member of the Republican State Leadership Committee, which had a very good night on Tuesday night. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.